Hi, my name is Ed Johnson. I had the privilege of being born and growing up in Brazil as a missionary kid. Since 2008, my family and I have served as church planting missionaries in this great country. The Lord has been good to us and is doing amazing things in Brazil. During our first 7 years, we were involved in 2 new church plants and the start of a Bible Institute in the cities of São Paulo and Londrina. In 2015, we began New Life Baptist Church in Taubaté. This church has outgrown its space and miraculously relocated twice. The Lord has allowed us to start a full-time Bible Institute with an average of 15 to 20 students per semester. We began the school year this year with 24 students. 2 graduates serve on the field, and approximately 16 other members feel God is leading them toward the ministry. The church supports 14 missionary families, has assisted in a church plant in the neighboring city of Pinda, and is praying about and making preparations to start another congregation in the city of Caçapava, another neighboring town. We have many soul winning and outreach ministries, including a nursing home ministry, 2 church-wide soul winning times on Saturday, a visitation program, and a van route. Celestino, a missionary in our church, has a prayer line ministry through which people come to know Christ from all over Brazil and even Africa on a daily basis. From February to July 2023, he saw 227 souls profess their faith in Christ. We also have a robust discipleship program, which includes 15 one-on-one discipleship lessons. Our ministry has a language school to teach missionaries arriving in Brazil Portuguese. We represent Beams in Brazil and began a help and support ministry called Ganhar. Through this ministry, we have contact with over 150 churches in Brazil, providing Bibles, John and Romans, tracts, and evangelistic materials. We are constantly traveling and teaching on the family, soul winning, and music, as well as preaching for evangelistic conferences, revivals, and camps. We are also currently involved with a church plant started by a fellow missionary over 40 years ago in a revitalization effort. Not a week goes by when we do not see visitors in church and souls saved. It is exciting to see what God is doing here. To God be the glory for the great things He has done and will continue to do. We need several new churches to partner with us due to rising costs, a devaluation of the dollar, and being undersupported. Our ministry's primary need right now is for land in a good location to accommodate our growing church, our Bible college, and our future Christian school. We have been praying about a lot for years that was recently advertised for sale. It is in a prime location and is 8,600 square feet. We would need $265,000 to purchase the property and begin construction. As of June 2023, our church had already raised $30,000. Bear in mind that our church's average monthly household income is $850 a month. The Lord is doing something special, and our people have been sacrificially giving towards this project. But we need your help. Please pray with us about these requests. 1, for new churches to partner financially with us. 2, for $235,000 towards the Nehemiah project. And 3, for more laborers in Brazil. Perhaps the Lord would lead you to help in one or more of these needs. We are so thankful to be serving our Lord Jesus Christ in Brazil. Please partner together with us, not only financially, but especially in prayer. And while we are busy reaching our Jerusalem, be busy serving God and doing your part to reach your Jerusalem. For the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few.
Having us with you, it's been a true joy. We've enjoyed it thoroughly. The hardest part for me as a missionary kid and now as a missionary this part of the work is saying goodbye. But I'm thankful for that day where we're going to be all together in heaven. Amen. And we're never going to have to say goodbye again. Amen. And everywhere we go, we leave a little part of us there. And know that we'll keep you in our hearts and in our prayers. And we ask that you pray for us as well. We are here in the States, as was mentioned, for several reasons. 3 main reasons. We came back to bring our daughter to Bible college. My daughter is a freshman at Hiles Innocent College. She's studying music, And we're so proud of her. She's doing a great job. She has a love for the Lord, and she's praying about what God would have for her. And then we're also needing to raise some new support, and then we're also trying to raise funds for that property. And we're thankful that we already have $50,000 towards the property, and we have several churches that have also promised to give towards that. We'll be in the States until January, and then we'll be heading back to Brazil. We're anxious to get to Brazil. Humanly speaking, I would rather never come back to the States. I'd rather stay there with our ministry there. There's a lot of work, a lot of things going on there. But on the other hand, I understand not just the need, but it is enjoyable to visit our supporting churches, to reconnect with people, and to minister. I mean, I understand that if the missionary's not in the States, the churches aren't going to be challenged for missions. And my prayer is that while we're here, churches will be challenged for missions, and that God would raise up more laborers, whether it's in Brazil, Uganda, Cameroon, or anywhere else in the world. I do want to share with you a couple of statistics. I was actually going to share this Thursday night if I had a chance, but the world has today 7.8 billion people in the world, and by the year 2050, the population will grow to 9.8 billion. 360,000 people are born every day, and 152,000 people die every single day. That means the population grows by 200,000 people per day. Almost two people die every single second around the world. 4.84 billion people live in the 1040 window. And in the U.S., which is the third largest country in the world, there's a population of 331 million souls. Brazil is the fifth largest country in the world. And it, well, just depends on the stats you read. Actually, I think with the new census, they're now the sixth or seventh in population. But the fifth used to be the fifth largest, both in size and population. Most people don't realize the size of Brazil, but it encompasses a staggering 3,287,195 square miles. That's actually half of South America and more than the contiguous United States. If you take away Alaska, Brazil's bigger in size than the United States. It's also larger than all the European countries combined. It has a population that exceeds 15 million people, which is almost the same population as the rest of South America put together. By the year 2050, the population in Brazil will have increased to over 250 million souls. There are 5,570 cities in Brazil, and at least 15 of those cities, I believe it's 17 now, 17 of those cities have a population of over 1 million individuals. São Paulo, the largest city in Brazil and the third largest city in the world, depending on obviously the stats that you read, has a population of 11.5 million in its municipality and over 20 million in the metropolitan area. Just that city, the city of São Paulo alone, there are more people living there than 150 different countries around the world. About a 30-hour drive northwest of São Paulo, going towards the Doolittles and past the Doolittles a little bit, is the Amazon jungle. That's the largest jungle on Earth. It covers one-third of Brazil. So if you were to put that jungle in the States, it would cover all the way from California to Colorado. There are over 220 Indian tribes in the Amazon jungle, and the government estimates at least 78 Indian tribes which have had no contact with civilization. So there is a huge need, and obviously I'm focusing on Brazil, but everywhere in the world. The city that we're in is a city of 300,000 people. There are 54 neighborhoods. I was telling somebody today, the Assembly of God has just about three. There's three different types of Assembly of God there in our city. There's about three congregations or churches in each neighborhood. So there's about 150 Assemblies of Gods in our town, but one Independent Baptist Church. The valley that we're in, the Valley of Paraíba, has 58 municipalities. We were the first Independent Baptist Church. Now there's a second one there. And is a huge need. I mentioned this a little bit with the men. But our mission board, the mission board I'm with is BIMI. It's perhaps the largest independent Baptist mission board in Brazil. We have 26 active families in Brazil. But of those 26 families, seven of them are my dad's generation. They're 60 years of age or older. My dad is 78 years old, years of age, and there's several in that age group. 14 of us are second and third generation missionaries. And by the way, the reason why there's so many of us that are second and third generation, we grew up there, is not only we saw the need, but we saw how wonderful it is to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And but the sad news to me is that only five have gone in the past 40 years and are still there. Two of those five are still raising support. And there's really, I do see some young, and there's several missionary families that aren't with the board or with another board, but I don't see a lot of young missionaries going that did not grow up in Brazil like we did in my dad's generation. And that's a very sad thing. And I would say that's probably true for in the States as well, yeah, for pastors and church planters. And there's just a huge need. I just want to share with my last verse, and then I'll conclude. My last verse is Romans 12, 1 and 2. It begins by saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And by the way, I want to beseech you together with the Apostle Paul. I plead with you, I beg with you, give your life to the Lord.
Amen.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Kill your will. Give yourself completely to God.
Yes.
And it is a sacrifice. You do have to give up your will. But the second verse, the latter part of the verse, says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what that means to me? Now, this is etiology, okay? This is not Greek. This is not necessarily Bible. But good to me is just like a salad is good for you. Now, I enjoy salads, but I think I enjoy a hamburger more than a salad. How many have ever heard that liver is good for you? You ever heard that? They say liver is full of iron. It might be true, but I've never understood how the filter of an animal can be good for you.
Yeah.
Now, when I eat liver, I have to hold my nose and drink a large glass of water in between each bite. And I try to eat healthy. Why? Because, well, it's good for me. If I don't, I'm going to suffer the consequences. And that's what most people understand about the will of God. Now, by the way, the will of God is good. If you don't obey God, you are going to suffer the consequences.
Right.
If you overstep the boundaries of the Word of God, you're going to suffer the consequence of sin. And so God wants to protect you. And we do need to go to church, and we need to obey God. And we need to, if He calls us to the ministry, we need to go to the ministry. We need to sow in. We need to tithe. Why? Because if not, we're going to suffer the consequences. But that's not where it ends. It says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable. Now, you know what acceptable means to me? That means it's acceptable, just like a nice, cheesy, greasy pepperoni pizza with an extra large Coke. Now, that's probably not good for you, but that's acceptable. And you know, you ladies, you get a napkin and you take off the grease off the top of the pizza. That's the best part of the pizza. Now, I enjoy a nice, greasy pepperoni pizza with an extra large Coke, but that's not very good for me. But the will of God, not only is it good, but it's acceptable. You're going to enjoy it. In fact, He says it's perfect. There is nothing better than doing the will of God,
Amen.
Than being obedient to God, than serving Him. And whether it's going across the street to tell your neighbor about Jesus Christ or going across the world, whatever God has for your life, sacrifice your will and do the will of God. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And tonight I want to preach a message entitled, It's Go Time. It's Go Time. I thought about titling the message, It's Time to Go, but I was afraid to get up and leave. My desire tonight is to be a blessing, and I really want that more than anything. And I want to try to challenge each and every one of us to become more committed to the mission. That we would reevaluate our priorities and our ambitions and our goals and analyze what we are doing individually to reach the mission. My goal, my prayer, my desire is that many would decide to become true soul winners and soul conscious people, true disciples, givers, prayer warriors, that many of us would get involved in the ministries of Madison Baptist Church and the program here, that many of us would go and reach our Jerusalem. But I also desire that God would call some of us into the ministry, that some of us would surrender our lives to become preachers, pastors, and obviously my heart is in missions, especially in Brazil, but that God would call young people and adults to missions. Yeah. Missions Conference, it has been said, is the business meeting to decide the fate of the world. This is an important time this weekend, and I'm very thrilled to see the church very well attended on a Thursday night. And as I said, I hope you'll be here for each and every one of the services. I trust this church and each and every one of us will do more this coming year for the cause of Christ than last year. I trust that you will give more, that you will sacrifice more. I trust that you will pray more and that we will surrender more. And if we want to go further in our reach, we also need to go more. Someone once asked me, what are your two, what are your, outside of prayer, what are your main needs? And to me, that's an easy answer. Our two biggest needs are financial resources and human resources, money and laborers. And tonight, my desire is to try to establish a foundation for the rest of the missions conference. The conference is just beginning. By the time it's done, I pray we will not just sit and idle, but that we will rather put the pedal to the metal and say it's go time. So to begin, let's read our text. We're going to read it. We're going to come back to it later. I'm going to read several verses in the introduction. And then later when we get to the body of the message, we'll come back to our text. Very well-known passage. It's preached on often when around missions conference time. And it is the first gospel that mentions the Great Commission. We're going to begin reading in verse 18 of chapter 28 of the book of Matthew. The Bible says, "And Jesus spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you bless the message tonight. Challenge our hearts, Lord. Lord, we need you, Lord. Lord, we're creatures of with a sinful nature, and we do have the Holy Spirit, those who are saved. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling within us. But as Paul said, so oftentimes we that which we desire to do, we don't do. And the things we don't desire to do, we do. And I know that every person here has in their heart of hearts a desire to please you, a desire to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the truth is, so often we fail miserably at the mission, Lord, and we need to be challenged again and again. Be reminded of the truths of your word. And Lord, help us, Lord, to understand clearly what is the mission. What is our commission? What is our goal? And help us to do something about it, Lord. Help us to realize that it's go time. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to encourage us and remind us that it's go time. Perhaps you say, isn't that the missionary's job? Yes, it is the missionary's job. And we were all left here to be missionaries. And I hope you'll go across the street or around the world on a mission trip as a short-term missionary or as a long-term missionary. God, in fact, is calling all of us to go somewhere. In our text, we read, Go, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Mark 16, 15, also the Great Commission, Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world. In fact, it is the theme of the missions conference. In Psalm 126, verse 6, the Bible says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, and bring his sheaves with him. By the way, what are the first two letters of the gospel? G-O. Go. Nothing happens until we go. In Acts 5:20, the Bible says, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Jesus said it, and Jesus did it. In Mark 1:38, the Bible says, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. In Mark 5:19, Jesus cast a demon out of a man, and he said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. John 15:16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit. It's go time. It's time for us to stop sitting, and it's time for us to get up and go to work. In Luke 15:4, the Bible says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Romans 15:25 says, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. In Galatians 2:9, we find, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul said, we should go unto the heathen. In Acts 28:26, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear. In Acts 8:29, we find these words. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. In most cases, and the word translated go in the New Testament is what's called the present progressive tense. It literally means as you are going. Why did God leave us here? I'm very looking forward to the rapture. I'm looking forward to the day I can see my Savior face to face. Why didn't Jesus Christ take us the moment we were saved? The reason that we are still here is so that we can go and take as many people with us to heaven as possible. You and I, if we're saved, you here in Madison, Wisconsin, we just came from Hartford City, Indiana, you have a great thing going for you. If you're saved, you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. You have a wonderful church family. And God doesn't just want you here just to have fellowship with your fellow believers, but God wants you to spread His message, and God wants you to invite others to participate in this eternal life with you. It's go time. The story is told of a little girl who came running home from church one day saying, Mommy, my name is in the Bible. My name is in the Bible. The mother answering the child said, Edith, honey, your name is not in the Bible. The little girl persisted. Yes, it is, mother. The preacher said, Jesus receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, our names might not be in the Bible, but if you're saved, your name is written in the book of life. And because Jesus Christ receiveth sinners, you and I are going to be able to spend eternity with him. That's wonderful news.
We must share that wonderful news. We can't just keep that news to us, but God wants us to get that news, and He wants to share us to share that news with our neighbors and with our families and with our co-laborers. He wants us to get up and go and tell the gospel news to every creature. It's go time. Matthew 13:3 says, "And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Now, I know it's not meant in this sense, but here it's in the past sense, went forth to sow. Perhaps there's somebody here tonight. You at some time were a sowinner. You were involved in the outreach ministries or in an outreach ministry of this church. But many who used to be in the habit of witnessing, your get up and go do, got up and went. And God wants you to get back into the ballgame. God wants you to get involved again. I heard about a football game being played on the home field. The home team was being smeared by the visiting squad. Someone on the sidelines kept yelling, "Give the ball to Calhoun. Give the ball to Calhoun." They tried another play, and again the home team was smashed to the ground, losing valuable yardage. Again came the cry, "Give the ball to Calhoun." After this happened two or three more times, the familiar cry rang out again, "Give the ball to Calhoun." Then a tall man raised up from the pile of human bodies on the field after the next play and responded, "Calhoun don't want the ball." I am afraid this is true of many Christians today. They don't want to carry the ball of evangelism and discipleship. And we need to hear the cry of the crowd in heaven cheering and urging us on, the great cloud of witnesses in the grandstands in glory, urging us to run our race with patience. We need to hear the cry of our coach on the sidelines. That is Jesus Christ. Can you hear Him? He says in Luke chapter 12, "The Lord sent them two and two before His face into every city and place, whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into this harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Jesus Christ has commissioned us, and He wants us to get involved. He wants us to do our part. Yes. The most important commandment given in battle is the last commandment. The most authoritative command is the written command. And the highest authority is the king. The Great Commission is the last commandment given to us in the written word, in the written word of God by the King of Kings. Amen. It's go time. So very briefly in the next few minutes, as we begin this missions conference, I want to remind us what our mission even is. What is a missions conference all about? By the way, usually we call it missions conference. I have nothing against that. But I prefer the term mission conference because we're not here to discuss a whole bunch of different missions. We're here to discuss the mission, Amen. The Great Commission. Amen. What is the Great Commission? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Our text, look at the text again. Matthew 28:18-20 is the Great Commission. It is the last commandment Jesus Christ left. And that is, it ought to be His last command, but our first priority. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." This evening, I want us to notice three aspects of the Great Commission. Three aspects of our goal time. Number one, I want us to notice the commissioner. Number two, I want us to notice the commission. And number three, I want us to notice the commitment. We could also say, number one, why go? Number two, go and do what? And number three, go and do how? But number one,
I want us to notice the commissioner. The commissioner. Jesus Christ said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." He was talking about the authority that was given to him by the Heavenly Father, and now he had the authority to commission the disciples and the church and you and I. It was the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Savior, God Himself in human form, Jesus Christ, who had been given authority by God. He has all authority. He has all power in heaven and in earth. He is allowed to tell us what we must or must not do. He is allowed to tell us what our priority is. He is allowed to commission us for whatever He deems best. And the disciples were thinking, this is now the time He's going to establish the kingdom. And He's saying, no, this is not the time for that. I have another purpose at this time, and I have the authority to establish what it is your job is. And He's saying, I am the commissioner. I have the power, the authority to commission you. So we see the commissioner. Who is the commissioner? The King of Kings. Why ought we to go? Well, because the very God Himself, the Creator of the universe, the King of Kings, has told us to go. He is our Creator. He is our Lord and King. He is our Savior. If you're saved tonight and you belong to Him, He didn't just save you so that you could live a peaceful and blissful life. He didn't save you so that you could be comfortable. In fact, He is less worried about your comfort as much as He is worried about your character. And Jesus Christ wants you to serve Him. And He is our Savior and our Lord and King. And He has the authority to tell us what we ought to be doing with our lives. He has not only the authority to tell us, but He has the power to help us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm thankful that I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home on the mission field of Brazil. In our home, my dad's word was law. When he said something, he expected us to obey. And we learned very early on, you know, if you don't obey dad, there are bad consequences. I'm thankful for a dad who taught me that authority is important and obedience is important. I remember when I was, probably 12 years old, we had another missionary family there in Brazil. They lived a few hours away from us. They didn't come visit us very often, but they had come to our house, and four siblings, three brothers and a sister. I'm the youngest of five, A, B, C, D, E, Alan, Brian, Carl, Debbie, Eddie. So I'm the youngest. Alan is about 8 years older than I am. Brian is 6 years older. Carl is 4 years older. My sister's 2 years older than I am. So I'm the youngest. And Alan had a friend from this family that was his age. Brian had a friend from this family that was his age. I had a friend from that family that was my age. So they came over, and it was fun for us. It was good to spend time with them. And they liked games. They brought a new game for them and for us. It was called Scotland Yard. Now, this was in Brazil, and it was hard to get games in Brazil. They had brought it from the States, and boy, I was so excited to play this game. And for like hours, my two older brothers were playing with their friends, you know, and I wanted to play, and they said, no, it's the older guy. It's us older people now. And boy, I just wanted to play. So, you know, I had an idea. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to Dad. So I said, Dad, you know, they've been playing for hours. I want to play with them. And my dad says, well, okay, you can go play with them. And I said, well, Dad, they're not going to let me play. And he said, well, you tell them I sent you. So when I got there and I said, I want to play, they said, no, maybe later. I said, well, Dad said you're going to have to let me play. And I got to play with him. You know, God has given you the authority to do His work. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to worry. He is the King of Kings. He is the commissioner. He's the owner of this world. And He has commissioned you to do something very important. And that ought to thrill us. It ought to be an honor and a privilege for us to be able to serve the King of Kings. Amen. So in first place, I want us to notice the commissioner. And secondly, I want us to notice the commission. What ought we to be doing? Go and do what? Go what? Well, first of all, I want us to notice the mission of the commission.
The mission of the commission. In verse 19, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now, the emphasis here is on the verb teach. And really, this word teach is the same word that we could use for discipleship or discipling or make disciples. Disciple is a student. And the emphasis is on teaching. And as we teach, we ought to be doing, there's three other verbs here that follow, that go with the teaching. But our commission is pretty much to get people saved and to disciple them.
Yes.
That's it in a nutshell. But here we see teach, make disciples. Making disciples is the mission of the commission. But I want you to notice as well the method for the commission. How are we to make disciples? How are we to teach? It says, number one, go ye therefore and teach. So the go is really going. So as we go about, but we need to go. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. Secondly, I want you to notice that we ought to evangelize. Now, to teach here is make disciples, but the first step to make a disciple before they get baptized is what? It's to lead them to Christ.
Amen.
They have to believe the gospel. It's present the gospel. And Marcus says, preach the gospel. So that is the very first step of making disciples is evangelizing. And that is a very important aspect, though it is not the only aspect of the Great Commission. Evangelization, soul winning, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost is the very first step in making disciples. So we go, we evangelize, and then we baptize. It says baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So those who are saved, they get baptized. And by the way, I'm going to say a little bit more about this if I have time. Baptism is an ordinance given to the local church. So the Great Commission is done through mainly through the local church. Obviously, we are the local church, in a sense, gathered together. It's the body of believers. It's a living organism, and God uses you and I. But the baptism emphasizes the importance of the local church in worldwide evangelism, in the Great Commission. So we see we ought to evangelize, baptize, and then disciple. It says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, notice the emphasis is not so much theology and doctrine, though that's very essential, and your doctrine will determine your destiny and will make you help you make good decisions, but doctrine is no good unless we put it into practice. The emphasis is not on knowing what I have commanded you. The emphasis is on obeying what things I have commanded you. Obedience. God wants us to help others become mature Christians, to obey the commandments of Jesus Christ. And any church that's worth its salt is a practical church. God wants our obedience above anything else. So we ought to make disciples, teach them to observe, help them grow in the Lord. And so that is discipleship. So every church, every Christian ought to be involved in soul winning as well as discipleship, in evangelism and edification. That is the dual aspect of the Great Commission. So go, evangelize, baptize, and disciple. This is done through the local church, methodically, purposefully, and actively. It's on purpose.
Yep.
If you're going to go, it's on purpose. You have to think and strategize plan.
Yep.
Going back to my dad. Now, even though he expected us to obey, I didn't always obey him. Go figure. Now, I remember when I was a kid, I did not like tomatoes. And my dad told me to eat tomatoes because it was served and we were expected to eat what we were served. And so I got to the end of the meal and I had a slice of tomato on my plate. And my dad said, "You're going to eat that tomato." And I was stubborn and I just sat there looking at it. And he's like, "Well, then you're going to stay there until you finish it." So I stayed at the table stubbornly for like 30 minutes after my dad and my mom had left the table. Now, I actually ended up pretending I ate it, and I gave it to the dog. So I got away from that one after
stupidly sitting at the table for 30 minutes because I didn't want to eat the tomato. Now, I was defiant against my dad's authority. And even though the Great Commissioner has given us the Great Commission, sometimes we are defiant. Or even worse, sometimes we don't just sit at the table and wait for time to go by idly sitting at the table. Sometimes we go in the living room and we start playing video game while the tomato is still on the table. God has given us a mission. And we are all, many of us are focused on all the wrong things except for the mission. And we need to focus and get our priority where it ought to be. So we see here the mission of the commission, make disciples, the method of the commission. A crude way of saying that is win them, wed them, and work them. And we also see the magnitude of the commission. He says, all nations, every creature, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, that is the commission. And lastly, and I'm wrapping it up, we see the commitment. The commitment. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. What is he talking about? He was talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, stay in Jerusalem until the one that was promised by the Father, until the Comforter, the Holy Spirit comes unto you. You are endued with power unbud. And John, I think it says, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. But he's saying, look, I know this is all bewildering to you. I've only spent 3.5 years with you, and you thought I was going to become your king, and now I'm leaving you. But I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to enable you. He's going to give, as it says in Acts 1:8, he's going to give you power, dynamite. He's going to give you strength, ability to be able to do the work whereunto I have commissioned you. And you know what? The Holy Spirit has already come. And if you are saved, you and I, we have the Holy Spirit. God is with us, and he enables each and every one of us to be able to do the work of the ministry. You have the power of God living inside of you. God has given us the ability to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we see the commitment. The Great Commission is purposeful, methodical, and non-stationary. It involves everyone. It involves evangelism. It involves baptism. It involves the local church. It involves discipleship. It is to all people's groups in every geographical location. I'll give you a story and then we'll finish. Somewhere recently I read of a tribe of natives in a South American jungle who learned that the leaves of certain trees would give them extra energy and strengthen them and would keep them from getting hungry. So they began to eat them regularly. They seemed strong, energetic, and seldom got hungry. A few weeks later, some died. An investigation revealed that they had starved to death. The leaves had tranquilized them and tricked them with false drug-like energy. And it's quite obvious Satan has had great success in getting Christians to be perfectly satisfied with the humdrum routine of going to church, taking part in the formalities of the services, carrying on the functions of a social ministry, and thinking they are pleasing God. By the way, yes, we ought to live sanctified lives, but that is not our main priority. Our main priority is to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why this missions conference is so important. Let God speak to you throughout this week. Every Christian ought to be giving, going, and praying, and every Christian ought to be surrendered to do whatever God would have them to do. Ask God, how can I be more involved? It's go time. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do more. Help us to get up and go. Help us to be actively involved in the Great Commission. Help us to reevaluate our priorities. I pray these things in Jesus' name.